Man, it's good to be back. We've been gone for 2 weeks, and thank you. You kind of flex. I mean, you're good.
Is that good?
Yeah, perfect. So whoever decorated last week, thank you so much. Will you guys move it?
Yeah, we've got to make it look good online for the people that's watching.
Hope at home, we didn't forget you. We're straightening the, everything's good. Oh, you know what? I was sitting here, and I was praising the Lord, and I thought, wait, I got to speak. I forgot my microphone. So if you saw me run out like there was a crisis, there was. And now I'm winded. It's a long way back to my office. Happy Thanksgiving to you. God bless you so much. So we've been in California seeing our grandbaby. Wow. Little Harper Lane. She was born on Halloween. Our son didn't like that and wanted to send her back and wait a day. It didn't happen. But let me show you what we saw in California. Now, I'm just going to make something clear for the Texas people. I love Whataburger. Let me just say this. On the bottom of a cup from Whataburger, is there a scripture? No. On the bottom of a cup from In-N-Out, there is a scripture. Let me just tell you which burger will be in heaven. Those of you from California, like going, oh, hallelujah. So good. But let me just tell you something that happened. We had Thanksgiving. We're flying out Friday. Breakfast was at In-N-Out Burger. Had to leave at noon. In-N-Out Burger opens at 10:30. Not the day after Thanksgiving. They open at noon. Hope deferred what? Makes the heart sick. So, we went down to the beach, and I grew up surfing Huntington Beach, but show them this picture. Do you know what those are out there? Those are called cargo ships with your Christmas stuff. Never in my life have I seen this. I counted, and so you've got Huntington Beach, then you've got, there's like something, then Seal Beach, then Long Beach. 52 cargo ships in front of Huntington Beach. There's where your stuff is. It's not coming. It's just going to stay out there. And check this out. So we got this rental car. You know how much we paid for gas? You're like, Jim, where are you going? I have no idea. I'm still trying to catch my breath. $97. The first time we filled up our rental car. And we didn't have like a semi. It's just crazy. So Christmas is supposed to be like the most wonderful time of the year. And it was eating In-N-Out Burger, but it's not when you think about people who are hoping for something and it seems like it's out in the ocean and it's never going to get docked and undone. I read recently that this time of the year when we're supposed to be singing Joy to the World, I love the Christmas songs today. What a blessing. You know, drinking hot chocolate, you know, getting good deals on Good Friday. No, not Good Friday, Black Friday. Okay, oxygen in my brain, help me. Good Friday's coming, Black Friday is over. But I read that this is kind of a time of the year when people struggle more than any time of the year. And that is exactly why we need hope. Hope is a powerful force in the human heart, and Christ is that hope. I mean, we already know that Jesus was much more than a baby when he was born, much more than a little infant born in the outskirts of kind of nowhere in a little type of feeding trough. And there's something so different about Christ. When you think about 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah wrote about the Christ to come. Think about that, 700 years. So what is that? Approximately 2,700 years ago, Isaiah writes a scripture about the Savior that absolutely brings hope today. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. I mean, not like a counselor that you had, like a school guidance counselor. I read the word here for this wonder. It means that there is a connection or an impact from the Creator, a supernatural God. He is our wonderful Creator who wants to interact with us and supernaturally help us. Have you ever wondered, what do I do next? Should I do this? Should I not? How can I move ahead? Of course, we all think about that. We struggle sometimes and we need help making decisions. And that's when we can intersect with the wonderful counselor that Isaiah talks about. And hope truly comes when we realize there is help. When we realize that Jesus cares. Listen to what James wrote. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect they receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and this world. They are unstable in everything they do. James says, ask God. But then don't try and pretend like it's all on you. Ask God. Absolutely trust God. You wonder what to do today? Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading God's word. He's not going to fail you. He's not just a guidance counselor. He is a wonderful counselor. He is the one who actually, even when things are hard, can give us steady and stable feet to walk on. You see, Jesus died so that we could go to heaven, but that's not the only reason Jesus died. Jesus died so that we could have a connection between God and us. It wasn't just like a fire insurance. It was a life policy. When you're still living, God wants to be part of your life. Man, I love that. That's how we can find hope. That's how we can find hope when things don't go the way we want them to. That was touching when you said that, and I hate cats. I mean, no offense to you, but I mean, when you have an animal that you love, I'm allergic to cats, that's why. Not that cats are bad, I'm just allergic to them. And so, but everyone has something that they love and it's taken away. Everyone has something that you're kind of hoping for it, but it's out there in the ocean on a ship and you don't know when it's ever gonna get unloaded. That's when we can find hope, when we ask our wonderful counselor for help. And I love this. Jesus is that mighty God. He not only wants to help, he has the power to help. Right on cue, thank you. You see, there's such a difference between when you think of ordinary hope, like the hope that you and I have, and then the hope that is found in the scriptures. I mean, you understand this. You hope that you have enough money to pay for all the things you're going to buy this Christmas. If you have children, you hope that they're going to obey. And if you have teenagers, you're hoping that they just don't embarrass you. I mean, we hope for all kinds of things. And as teenagers, you hope your parents don't embarrass you, right? But our human hope is always based on a little bit of uncertainty. You don't know really what's going to happen, right? I mean, we were totally focused on In-N-Out Burger on Friday. Didn't happen. We were focused on getting home. It barely happened. I mean, you should have seen Sharon and I. We looked like we were teenage track stars running. I mean, when we finally got on the plane, the flight attendant looks at me and goes, "Oh my gosh, sir, you must need water." I'm like, "No, I don't. Just ran the whole length of the airport." But that's different human hope than the hope in heaven. It's not, it's never based on like probability or circumstances. In Scripture, it is factual, and the certainty of things is at the core, because it's based on the ability of God, His character, His will, which are unwavering. You see, here on earth, we base our hope on something. Will this happen? Will they still have that thing you wanted to buy? Will this person do this and then it affects that? That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope isn't basing on something. Biblical hope is based in someone. See, there's a difference. In someone is my hope. And it's the God who can, the God who cares, and the God who will provide for my life. Totally different. And one of the ways you can find hope is not just thinking about you, but what can you do to bring hope to others? We flew in Friday night late, and Sharon waited for a long time. Our luggage never showed up. Okay. As I waited for the Delta person to talk to, there was a lady behind me, and she was just troubled. I'm like, "Hey, how's she going? Are they going to come? Are they going to come?" I said, "Yeah, they have to wait until, you know, they look at the plane and that." She goes, "Well, it's just been an awful time. I was going to fly on United in a few days, but things took a turn, and I'm going home now." I said, "Well, wait a minute. You mean tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.?" "Yeah. That's when I'm leaving." "So you're going to stay in the airport all night?" She said, "Yeah, I'm hoping to get through security so I can go get something to eat." Well, it's 11 o'clock. I just walked by security. There's nobody there. And there's nothing to eat. And she just seemed so despondent. And we were working, kind of getting the little papers filled out, and she got her ticket for the next day. And on the way out, you know, Sharon and I were walking. I said, "Wait, let's give her, do you ever like on the airplane when they give you snacks, just take a couple extra because you don't know what's going to happen? Does anybody do that? You're like, I don't know, they're giving to me for free. So you just take extras and you put them in your backpack in case, I don't know, like you crash or, you know, you're stranded on an island and you're the guy who has food. I'm the only one who does that. Thank you." Somebody's like, "In Jesus, I do it." It's free. And they just give you a dirty look once when you go, "Oh, sure." I don't know. I hoard water too. I don't even know why. But you just got to be prepared. Well, it was a blessing because we stopped, pulled stuff out of the backpack, and she was on her phone. And I just tapped her on the shoulder and laid out a smorgasbord of food. And she began to cry. And she was so thankful that somebody cared. And it was pretty emotional for me. Do you understand that in life, sometimes we're that lady where things didn't go well. And God Almighty, He is in control of all things and He can help us. The Bible says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I remember that hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less." Yeah, you know. I love that. True hope, biblical hope, isn't found in what you have or what you think. It's found in a person, and his name is Jesus. Then there's this verse, Jesus as the everlasting Father. How does that work? Isaiah, are you still talking about Jesus? I love this scripture. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look around you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, Jesus, as God the Son, has all of the divine attributes of the Heavenly Father. Like, we could have a whole theological discussion right now about the Trinity. God in three parts, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus has every attribute of the Heavenly Father. In Hebrews, I like how the Amplified Bible says this, says he, referring to Jesus, is the perfect imprint and very image of God. Therefore, Jesus has the same heart for us the Father has, same living word, and he keeps his promises. I love that. I absolutely love the fact that God is never going to lie to you. He's never going to run out of blessing for your life. He's never going to be the one who you're just like, ah, not again. Not again. He wants to be our counselor. Do you understand? That's where hope comes from. When we know that he is absolutely there. We have to understand that he's not only absolutely there, he has absolute power. Not only that, he's one who cares. Heavenly Father. That took me a while to grasp that. I didn't grow up with the greatest dad. When he came back from Vietnam, he was a drunk and it was hard on us. And I had to shift my focus to understand what a Heavenly Father is. My Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. You never change. Boy, what a great, great, great God we have. Today, tomorrow, forever. That's Jesus. And then check this out, the Prince of Peace. When Isaiah refers to the Savior as the Prince of Peace, he's actually referring to the specific fact that Jesus came to make peace between you and God. Before a person trusts in Christ, they don't have peace with God. They're separated from a holy and righteous God. There's a barrier. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, this is not a new concept to you. Why did Jesus come? To bridge the gap between the Father and us. He is absolutely holy and all of us have sinned. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who makes us right in the eyes of God. You want to have a little hope? I promise you that if I were to quit breathing right now and be ushered into eternity, I would be with the Heavenly Father. Not because of anything good I've done, because I'm a sinner just like everyone else, but it's because of the Prince of Peace. That is a gift that you cannot buy this Christmas. In Colossians, we read this, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," referring to Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Now, don't get me wrong. I love In-N-Out Burger. I think I could eat it a lot. But nothing compares to knowing that Jesus loves me and you so much, he died for us. Nothing. And quite frankly, driving on the 57 freeway, there were several times I thought I was about to enter eternity. It was really stressful. And it never stressed me out. But I think that's how life can get. 9 rows of cars, I'm trying to go 75 or 80 because the speed limit's 60. and it's almost bumper to bumper, and there's no, I mean, I'm old, so we used to play Frogger. I was playing Frogger on the freeway thinking in any moment, we're in eternity. And when life gets tough, I know there's hope because of what Jesus did for us. It's such a beautiful thing. On the cross, we couldn't have done it. I love this verse in John, and we'll kind of wrap things up, and then we get to receive communion this morning. Jesus says this, "I am leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I have told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you will be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you will believe." Jesus, before he leaves this earth, he says this, "I'm going to give you a gift." And don't you love gifts at Christmas? I mean, it's just fun to get a gift. But nothing settles the soul like knowing Jesus wants to help us when we're struggling. He wants to show us where to go. Nothing settles the soul knowing that Jesus has the power to help you when life is really hard. Nothing settles the soul knowing that. And this year there have been many who have moved from this life into eternity. Nothing settles the soul like knowing they are in heaven. Nothing settles the soul like you knowing God has a plan for you here and a purpose. And when you depart from this earth, you will be absolutely in his presence. I mean, it's huge. So here's kind of a question I wrote to sum up today. Do you need to be reminded that God's love for you is great? And that you're not forgotten? That he loves you personally? Do you need to be reminded that when something happens, God doesn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry I missed that. I was asleep." Do you need to be reminded that he's a heavenly Father who absolutely cares about you? Do you need to be reminded today that there are dots that have connected? You're going to heaven, and it's because of Jesus Christ dying for you. Or there are dots that have connected, and if you were to be absolutely honest, you would say, "I don't know where I'm going today." I don't know that I have absolute hope that if I were to slip into eternity today, that I would be with Jesus. I don't want you to leave today questioning that unless you make that choice. Let's pray today and then we'll receive communion together. Lord, I pray, gosh, I love Hope Church. I love the people at home watching. I love these friends here today. And God, we've always had things that come up in life that cause us to question all kinds of things. God, maybe today we need to be reminded that you love us. Maybe today we need to be reminded that you are all powerful. God, I thank you that in your power, you allowed our luggage to be delayed so I could meet a lady who needed somebody to be kind to her. God, I thank you that we were a little bit inconvenienced so we could bring hope to a lady who was despondent. God, I pray today if somebody doesn't know you, that they would simply begin that relationship to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me. Take over my life. Give me hope here on earth and the assurance that when I move from this place to heaven, that I will actually go to heaven. Enable me to follow you, to become a fully devoted follower of you. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I love Christmas and thinking about the birth of Christ, but the truth is, he didn't come just to be born. He came to die for you and me. And as you receive communion this morning, I want to encourage you to take a moment and be super honest with the Lord. Maybe you need direction. Maybe you feel like, gosh, God, where are you when things are hard? Maybe you know you're not where you need to be. I'm not standing in judgment against anybody today other than maybe myself. But if you know you're not right with the Lord, take a moment. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. Take a moment and be honest. Thank you, your body's broken for me. Wow, you took all that beating because you love me. And thank you that you shed your blood because you knew I would sin and I need a Savior to forgive me. Take a moment as we receive this communion together this morning and reflect on his goodness and how much you matter right now to that wonderful counselor, Almighty God, that Prince of Peace. Here's what we'll do. Let's stand together. And there's two communion tables in the back. There's two in the front. And as we begin to sing this song, we'll release you to receive communion together. And then in just a couple of moments, the worship team will dismiss us this morning. God bless you today. It's so fun to be back and to see all of you. I just kind of want to stare at you one more minute. Yeah, I love you so much, and I appreciate you. May God richly, richly bless your week, I pray.